Local Memorial Blood Centers is looking for folks who want to help. It takes a generous type of person to give an hour out of their day to donate a pint of blood. But in the spirit of giving, it saves lives. In this era, when our supply chains are backed up, don't let blood be one of the things we're running out of. Give blood and help out the folks in your community, especially if you are blood type B negative, which is in short supply. Please visit mbc.org to schedule an appointment for Memorial Blood Centers or call 1-888-448-3253.
Today's controversial question for John Krasinski on The John Krasinski Show is, who do the Timberwolves miss more on defense, Patrick Beverley or D'Angelo Russell? I never thought I'd actually say something. I feel silly saying it, but there's a reason I'm asking. We're going to get to that with John here. By the way, if you came out to Tuttle's last week, Tuttle's Eat, Play, Bowl in Hopkins, tuttlesbowling.com is the website. If you came out last week, thanks so much. That was a blast. Great questions. A great scene. Tin Cup Whiskey was there. It's a great place to do live shows. Our next live show there with the John Krasinski Show is December 27th at 7 p.m. Once again, come out, ask live questions, get some free stuff from the whiskey people, have a blast, do some bowling. Tuttle's is one of our many sponsors. We also want to welcome Head Flyer Brewing. We also want to thank Steve Terry and TSR Injury Law. Steve was at the last show, having a lot of fun with us. Thanks to Manscaped, and thanks to All Energy Solar. And if you would like to advertise with this show or any of the shows across our growing network, you can reach our sales executive, Karen Cleary, at K-C-L-E-A-R-Y at TalkNorth.com. All right, let's get to it, John. Who do they miss more, Patrick Beverley or D'Angelo Russell?
Yeah, it's crazy, Jim. I mean, I love how you put it, because like in this sort of bizarro season, where down is up and up is down, and the Timberwolves are suddenly ranked eighth defensively in the league and 24th offensively, you're just it almost makes sense that it does seem that when D'Angelo Russell is out of the lineup, they of course miss his offensive organization, his shot making, things like that, but they really do miss him, it seems like, defensively as well. You know, you look at what he has been done historically, he's been a terrible defender. Like, he has not stayed in front of people on the perimeter. He has not he's never been a quick-footed guy. He's never been able to really disrupt anything from a defensive standpoint. But what he has done this year is pay a heck of a lot more attention to what is going on that side of the court. He, I think, has taken some guidance and some leadership from Patrick Beverley. And so he is in the right spots a lot more often. He uses his length. He has really long arms. He has good size at the point guard position to be able to get into passing lanes and to get steals and disrupt things that way. And he's been a great communicator for them. They are much better running a zone defense when D'Angelo Russell is out there, kind of keeping people in the right spots and organized, than they are when he is not. And so the Wolves face the Hawks on Monday night without Russell because of a sprained ankle. And the Hawks just got every open shot they wanted all night long. They you know, three after three after three. And it just is a really glaring thing to see that, you know, you expect the offense to suffer a little bit when Russell is out, but to see the defense really kind of fall apart, it almost boggles the mind when that happens. But that's exactly what's going on right now.
Yeah, it's fascinating to watch. And you knew that they're going to take a hit with Beverley out. It's really interesting that they're taking a hit with D'Lo out. The question is this just the way it is, or is there something they can do to make up for their absence when they're, I mean, it's not like either of them are going to be out forever, but when they're missing those guys, is there, what can they do better?
Yeah, that's, and I think it's a good point, because both D'Angelo Russell and Patrick Beverley are guys who will miss games here or there. They're not Iron Men by any stretch. And so, you know, whether it's Patrick Beverley's groin that he has an issue with, and I think he's going to be back maybe even by the end of this week, which will be good, or D'Angelo Russell with an ankle or things like that crop up, they just do miss games. And so in the absence of them, what they have to do a better job of is really kind of closing out on three-point shooters. And that's what Chris Finch said after the game against the Hawks, is that, you know, they just did not have the ability or the wherewithal to finish their closeouts and to really get hands and faces on the perimeter. Their defense right now, Jim, is designed to be a bit of a scramble. Like, they want to really activate their young legs and kind of get moving around and cover for each other and rotate and do those things. But that really requires all, you know, making sure that with discipline, they get out to each shooter as the ball starts moving around. And the Atlanta Hawks did an unbelievable job of just passing to create these really open looks. But then the Wolves didn't do a very good job of closing out on the three-point shooters to kind of finish out and make those shots as tough as possible. For most of this season, they have done a pretty good job at that. They're the number two in the NBA in opponent three-point percentage. Some of that is luck. Certainly, some teams are just missing open looks that they get. But I do think that they were also much more active in general than they were against the Hawks on Monday night. And so they just have to kind of sort of, you know, just get some gas back in the tank and make sure that they're playing hard enough and closing out hard enough on those shots and not just kind of looking up and watching them, you know, let it fly, because there was, you know, even Gorgui Dieng was 3 for 3 pro, you know, with the Hawks. So it was just, you know, but when you get that open looks, when NBA players get those kinds of open looks, other than the Timberwolves, it seems like, but when you give NBA players those kinds of wide open looks, they generally knock those down.
Well, let's get to the Timberwolves three-point shooting. But first, let's have a little fun. Craig Kilborn's at the game and doing the celebrity turns around the Timberwolves. Just tell me what that was like.
Yeah, it was super fun to see him. He is, you know, I mean, he's been sort of out of the public eye for a long time. But I think for a lot of us who grew up either with him on SportsCenter or The Daily Show, or you've seen him in Old School and things like that, he's still, I mean, he's a big star, and he's kind of got life all figured out. Like, he kind of did his thing for a while, and now he is living off of the great life that he's built, and he's not having to be out there in the public a lot. But when he does kind of let his voice be heard these days, a lot of it is championing the Wolves. Like, he is such a Wolves super fan. Like, you know, there's times where there are actors or entertainers or musicians or whoever who are big, you know, big fans of a certain team. But it, you know, they'll come and they'll show up and they'll watch the game and they enjoy it and all these things. But like, Kilborn is like totally invested in the Wolves. And, you know, he obviously, you know, with the Vikings as well, but I think the Wolves are his baby. And so it's fun, like, to have him around. I mean, he's always kind of, he asks, you know, the beat writers about, you know, injuries or about, what Chris Finch is going to do against Trae Young and the pick and roll and things like that. He is, you know, sharing his thoughts and really, really into the Timberwolves. And I think it's a really fun thing. So he was at the game at Target Center. He was sitting courtside with Henry Lake and Mark Rosen. He was on the Wolves broadcast for radio and TV, kind of doing the rounds. He has a sit down with Marnie Gellner coming for their Wolves, you know, Wolves Plus show, which I'm sure will be great. And so just all in all, he's just totally living it up. He doesn't come back that often. He's in LA. He's, you know, he's kind of living the Hollywood life out there. But to have him around and just have such a super basketball fan, you know, it with someone of his status, it's a really cool thing for the Wolves.
Well, you and I know I wrote like a deadline column in 2006, and I considered just retiring, living off that. I'm sure you've had moments like that in your career.
Yes, I absolutely have. I mean, you know, how much is too much money, Jim, is kind of what I wrestle with all
the
time.
And the taxes. I mean, you make this much money and it's just a tax headache.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, there will be a time where I'm ready to kind of shuffle off into anonymity. But I do maybe want to wait out and ride another Wolves playoff trip before I do just that. So exactly when that happens, we'll see. But I'm going to stick around for just a little while longer at least.
So I've heard Kilbourne referred to as Craigers. What would the John Krasinski version of that be?
Yeah, I mean, Craigers seems to be his thing now. I haven't pulled the nickname card with him yet. I mean, we have DM'd on Instagram. We caught up last night for a little bit at the game, and that was really the first time that we had met in person. So I'm starting to ease my way into life around Craigers. So I'm going to wait to fire that bullet just yet. But hey, maybe we'll be able to get him on this podcast at someday and have him sit down with. Maybe he'll show up to Tuttle's with us. One of these times we have it, and then I feel like we'll be really on the sound terms to have some real good nicknames and good familiarity going with him.
Well, John, I'm in no position to assign you anything, but I'm going to do it anyway. You are now assigned to get Craig Kilbourne on the podcast.
I will absolutely work on that. So
and continue also continue working your way toward Halloween, because I want to. I also think, you know, hey, I knew nothing about podcasts before I started doing podcasts. I know nothing about making a movie, but I think John Krasinski. Here's the title: The Other John Krasinski: Colon from Blaine to Hollywood.
It really has a ring to it. And just like, you know, we love obviously having you involved in the podcast, but Kilbourne and Krasinski, just doesn't it have a ring to it?
Kilbourne and Krasinski. Now we're talking, you know what? I can just be coffee boy.
Yeah. Hey,
I'll get you coffee. I'll get you whatever you want. I'll give Brandon a shoulder massage while he's, you know, having to cut all the bleeps, you know, out of the show that you and Craig are doing. Let's work on that. Let's work on that. I would gladly step aside for Mr. Kilbourne.
Well, yep. The invitation is out there. We'll just wait for him to bite on it.
Beautiful. All right. Hey, let's do a little business here. Then I want to get to the Timberwolves 3-point shooting, Cat's toughness, Tyus Jones playing great, some potential trades, still lots of stuff to get to on this show. We do want to thank our newest sponsor, Head Flyer Brewing. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome to Head Flyer Brewing, Jim. I'm super excited that they've kind of gotten involved with us, because this is a brewery that my wife and I go to very often in Northeast Minneapolis. It's a great, great place to hang out. They have a super cool vibe set up in a historic building in Northeast Minneapolis, right? Easy access from 35W on Hennepin Avenue in Northeast. It's open, it's airy, it's very clean, and they have a 100-inch projection screen to, you know, bring in your buddies and watch a game on a Sunday. You can bring your dogs in there, very relaxed vibe. But most importantly, they just have great beer. And my wife and I walked in there and to check it out several years ago when she brought up the suggestion for her birthday. We were looking for something to do and said, hey, why don't we check out this brewery right over by our house called Head Flyer. And so we went in there and the selection of beers was like speaking right to me, because it's got a hazy pale ale called Wicked Jump Shot. I'm a Hoops fan. Had to try that. It was super citrusy, a really sweet and smooth finish, never bitter, brewed with Mosaic and Amarillo hops. It's absolutely one of my favorite beers that I have. I'll grab it in a growler and leave and bring it home and have it around the house. You can buy it in local liquor stores as well. They also have a juicy IPA called It Was All a Dream for those notorious BIG fans out there. It's great, great crisp beer. Love it. They have all sorts of different selections of beers that kind of can serve any palate. And it's just a super fun family style welcoming place to go and hang out. And so I highly recommend going to Head Flyer Beer, checking it out, or finding that beer in your local liquor store in the metro area. And for a limited time right now, they have the Kingfield Coffee Porter to check out as well. So do that. So you can follow Head Flyer on social media, on Instagram, on things like that. You can also go to their website at headflyerbrewing.com for more information, but highly recommend stop by, tell Neil, tell everyone that John Krasinski and Jim Suhan sent you, and really enjoy some great, great beers from Head Flyer Brewing.
As a home improvement project, solar energy can start paying for itself the moment the system is powered up. It can pay back 100% of the installation cost within 8 years. Plus, a system from All Energy Solar can even pay back over 300% of its cost over its lifetime. And you can save even more if you install by the end of the year with 2021 solar incentives. Learn how you can make the switch at allenergysolar.com. I also want to thank TSR Injury Law. Steve Terry was on the show last week.
We hear questions like these all the time. Can TSR Injury Law help me if I'm hurt on a motorcycle? Yeah. How about if I'm hurt on a boat? Yes. It's simple. If you've been injured, it's TSR time. Call us today for a free consultation at 612-TSR time.
All right, John, it is time for the highlight of the show. I appreciate that you blushed and hung your head as you read it at Tuttle's last week. Manscaped, manscaped.com.
I had to perform for the audience. So yes. So here we go. Ho, 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 fellas. Naughty or nice. Tis the season to perform. It's holiday season, and you don't know what to get as a gift or a stocking stuffer? Well, today's sponsor, Manscaped, has the tools to guarantee you win this year's stocking stuffer or white elephant competition. Manscaped's best-selling product is the Performance Package 4.0, which is at the top of every man's wish list this year. Inside, you'll find their lawnmower body trimmer, the best trimmer on the market for your balls, butt, and body, and the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. Let's not forget their famous liquid formulations, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner, to maximize your ball hygiene routine. Get the Performance Package now to receive two free gifts, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. The dads can't stop talking about this. The teens secretly buy this, and the women will love you for it. And so make sure you hurry to the site to ensure that the wild gifts show up before the holiday season. And while you're at it, get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with the code ATHLETIC. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with the code ATHLETIC. Be the ballsiest gift giver this year with Manscaped.
All right, what's up with the Timberwolves three-point shooting?
You know, it's been something that has really had Chris Finch and the entire team scratching their heads all season long. Now, it's not like they have a team full of Ray Allens and Steph Currys where you just know that when the ball finds them for an open look, they're definitely going to knock it down. So they're a little short on shooting for sure. They could use some to add that in the trade market eventually. But most of the players on this team, outside of Karl Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, Torian Prince, you know, even Jaden McDaniels has taken a big step back this year from his rookie season. All of these guys are shooting well below their career averages from three-point range. Anthony Edwards is a tick above right now, I believe, so that's a good sign. But he hasn't taken the big steps that they were hoping, but he has moved up a little bit. But in general, like, they're not just most of these guys are not just shooting kind of below their career averages. They're significantly below their career averages. And so this kind of really played out in the Hawks game, because while Atlanta was just kind of strafing the Wolves from outside, they hit 9 of their first 11 threes in the first quarter. They were on track for 36 threes by the end of the first quarter. They still hit 25, which is a ridiculous number. But when you get into that kind of a game where you're just having a hard time keeping up with the ball movement and your opponent is drilling from outside, the Wolves have not been able to keep up and get into a shootout. And part of it is because they lack some of the shooting, the natural shooters. But part of it is just that these guys are so below their career averages. If Russell, if Beasley, if a lot of these guys all just kind of shot where they normally shot in the 36% range and, you know, 34, 35, 37% range, you know, they would be in a lot better shape. But, you know, they're just not doing that. In the middle of the third quarter last night, the Hawks were 17 for 25 from three, and they had a 21-point lead. At that point in the game, Jim, the Wolves were 6 for 20. So, like, they're just bringing a knife to a gunfight. Now, in the fourth quarter, they started to knock shots down. They hit 8 threes. Malik Beasley got going. He hit 4 of them. I think Towns hit a couple of them. And that 21-point lead got down to 9 in like the blink of an eye. And so it just does show that if these guys finally start hitting the shots that they're supposed to hit, what a huge difference it makes, because generally outside of some games, they play really good defense and it just looks totally different. But for the bulk of this season, they have not been able to hit their shots. Some people have said it's the new ball. Some people have said, hey, you're playing in arenas with fans again and not like empty arenas with no distractions. So I don't know exactly what it is for a lot of these guys, but they really need them to start kind of getting on some hot streaks to raise their season averages up near their career averages. If that happens, they should be in great shape. If not, man, it's going to be hard when they're facing some of these teams that are just really whipping the ball around the perimeter and getting great looks.
Let's talk about a couple of admirable NBA players, Minnesota ties. I know that's called a tease. Also want to thank Memorial Blood Centers. You heard they're at the beginning of the show. They do great work. Memorial Blood Centers, they also advertise with a couple of other shows on this network, including the Chin Music Show. Also want to tell you that Tuttle's on December 27th, our show will start at 7. At 6:15, Tin Cup Whiskey will start with games and giveaways, prizes, games, and giveaways. So if you want to get there early and try Tin Cup Whiskey, or even if you don't drink whiskey, you can still play the games and win some T-shirts and shot glasses and have some fun with that. Also, Tin Cup Whiskey cocktails will be $5.75. I'm sorry, 2-for-1 Tin Cup Whiskeys. Tin Cup Whiskey cocktails will be 2-for-1, and glasses of Tin Cup Whiskey or Rye will be $5.75. Sorry about that. And hey, thanks to our longtime producer, Brandon Morton. All right. So Karl Anthony Towns could have sat out, and he played with what was obviously a very sore tailbone. Listen, it's his job. You want and expect players, especially highly paid players, to fight through injuries. But I still think you have to give people credit when they do it, because they don't absolutely have to.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Jim. You watched him last in the game on Monday night. We're recording this Tuesday morning. You watch him play, and he was not moving well. I mean, he was really stiff. He was kind of shuffling on defense and trying to keep up. He still managed to play really well, you know, and I got to get his stats right in front of me here, but he filled the stat sheet really well. He also, you know, he rebounded well against a team, against Clint Capella, and a team that can be aggressive on the glass. And he basically did everything he could to try and keep that game close, because the other part of it was that with D'Angelo Russell out, what Karl Anthony Towns said after the game to us was basically like, I didn't want to leave Anthony Edwards out there by himself. And so he did grit through this. He had 31 points, 16 rebounds, 6 assists, probably could add 10 assists with some of the kickouts to guys that just missed open threes. No turnovers, which is a huge step for him, who is, you know, he's really struggled with turnovers this season. So so he played well, and he gritted it out, and he showed a level of toughness. And you hear kind of misguided fans all the time say that Karl Anthony Towns is soft and that, you know, he isn't tough enough in this. And I'm, you know, I've said it before, but this was the latest example of toughness not being the issue for Karl Anthony Towns. He's played through a lot of injuries. He has played hurt a lot. He is out there on a nightly basis, and he is by far their most consistent player, by far their best player. And he has faults for sure. He argues with the refs too much. He does have too many turnovers in general. He needs to have fewer defensive lapses, and he's been really good at that this year. But so he's not the perfect player, but I do get the sense that because he's been here so long, he is sort of the poster child for the lack of success of this franchise in the last 7 years. And I think he takes an undue amount of criticism and an undue portion of the blame for it. And this is a guy who wants to win, who's trying to do it, and he really did try to gut it out last night and play, and it was an admirable performance by him.
Yes, the other person I wanted to praise, Tyus Jones, is playing great.
Yes, I mean, so Ja Morant went out, And the Grizzlies were really kind of reeling. They were not playing well. They had just recently lost to the Wolves by 43 points. And then Morant gets injured, and you're thinking, oh boy, these guys are really in trouble here. And now all of a sudden, they've won five in a row. I think Tyus Jones has a net rating of plus 30 in that time. He never, ever, 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 ever turns the ball over. His assist to turnover ratio is off the charts. He just knows how to play and how to run an offense. And I think he's a great fit in Memphis because they have a very established identity and everyone knows what they're supposed to do. And so he is excellent in those kind of environments because he knows where everyone's going to be. He knows how to find people and get them their shots that they need. And he does enough defensively to mitigate his size issues. And he's playing terrific basketball. You know, it's kind of funny, Jim, like you look around the league and, you know, even last night, Andrew Wiggins had a great game for Golden State. Zach LaVine is playing out of his mind for Chicago, which is one of the best stories in the league this year. And Gorgui Dieng just torched the Wolves last night, for going 3-for-3, from the field. And so, from three. And so, you know, you're seeing kind of a lot of the old flip players really maturing and making big impacts with other organizations. And it's good because most of those guys are excellent people, like easy to root for. And they took a lot of arrows when they were here. And it's nice to see them find some success elsewhere.
Yes. I'm going to ask John one more question. John's probably going to give us a final thought. Reminder of our live show schedule, December 7th, if you hear this in time, December 7th at 6 p.m., Chin Music at Eden Prairie, Pizza Luce. We're going to talk a lot about Jim Cott, Tony Oliva, and the other new Hall of Famers with Roy Smalley and Lavelle Neal III. December 14th, 7:30 p.m., that is the Cheryl Reeves Show and the Youth Winter Wear Drive. It is a great cause. It's always a great show. People turn out. We're going to have some special guests for you. Come on out and check that show out. It's just a great cause, and it'll be a really good time. That is the Downtown Pizza Luce, 7:30, December 14th. And, of course, the John Krasinski Show, again, December 27th, 7 p.m., Tin Cup Whiskey festivities starting at 6:15. Thank you all for the support. Again, best way to listen to the podcast or the network, subscribe to your favorite podcast app, or you can go to TalkNorth.com, see all the sports shows, all the outdoor content, and the archives for all the shows. And again, thank you. All right, Malik Beasley, I thought his shot selection against Brooklyn was a little iffy. Am I right or wrong about that?
I mean, I think you're right in a way, and I thought the same thing, Jim, watching him down the stretch in the fourth quarter. The one thing that I will give him, and I will give Chris Finch in sort of the way that fourth quarter played out, is they didn't have Karl Anthony Towns. He was out. Mm-hmm. D'Angelo Russell was 6-for-22. Anthony Edwards wasn't shooting the ball well. And so it was kind of like, in case of emergency, break glass. And you got to, you know, and Beasley hit a couple of threes early in the quarter, in the fourth quarter. And so it was kind of like, well, this is our only option, so let's give it a shot and let's roll the dice. And it didn't work out. And that's kind of the bind that sort of ties into our earlier conversation that this offense is facing, is like you would like in those situations to be able to throw a bunch of different options out there where, you know, the defense has to really be concerned about multiple guys from the perimeter. And they just didn't, the Nets just didn't have to be concerned about that with the way that Russell and Edwards were shooting. And so Beasley was kind of their last best hope. It was kind of that way against the Hawks too. In the fourth quarter, he really did get going and finally found some rhythm. And so when he starts cooking like that, you want to see if you can ride that hot streak, just because the options are so few otherwise. So really what they need is for Russell, for Edwards, for Jaden McDaniels, for Prince, for all these other guys to start holding up their ends of the bargain so you don't put too much pressure on Malik Beasley, because when he has that pressure on himself, it doesn't go well. It's like, oh, I got to force this shot. This has got to go up because I'm the only one that has the green light. And if the light is green, he's putting the pedal to the metal and he's flying right through that intersection. So they just got to be more well-rounded and got to get guys shooting better so that some people can have confidence to move the ball to other areas and get those shots. And, you know, riding Malik Beasley is a very dangerous thing and will probably get you beat more often than it gets you wins.
Any other final thoughts for us, John?
Well, I would just say that, you know, right now it's, you know, Chris Finch talked about this after the game, and he's right. Like the Timberwolves schedule is brutal right now. And so they have very little margin for error. And so this can be a stretch here, even where they play well and just don't get wins. I mean, they played well. They probably technically should have won that game in Brooklyn with the way that they had played. Yep. And just couldn't squeeze it out. And that's the thing that the challenge that they're going to run into throughout December into January is that even if you play really well, you might end up losing some games. So that's why, like, I think, you know, they have Utah on Wednesday, they have Ricky and Kevin Love and the Cavs on Friday at home. They got to try and, you know, gut out some of these wins at home against tough competition just to try to stay afloat right now. And make sure they're hanging around and not going on another long losing streak. And so, you know, they'll have some practice on Tuesday and maybe that'll help kind of reconfigure things. But this is a tough stretch here and a key one as they try to kind of stay in the Western Conference playoff hunt here.
Good stuff from John. Thank you again to everyone who showed up. Tuttles, come back out on December 27th. Thanks again to Brandon Morton. And thank you for listening.